Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 86 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host, and today my guest is the one and only Ben Glass. Now, if that name rings a bell, it's probably because Ben is one of the most widely known and respected attorneys in the Washington, D.C. area, for one, but more globally is recognized as the leader of something called Great Legal Marketing, which is a fantastic organization that helps solo and small law firm practitioners, and even those of a larger scale, build and grow their practice in the right way to lead them to be able to live a lifestyle of their choosing. And as you're going to hear from his discussion, the focus is designing a lifestyle that you want and working backwards to figure out what it is that you need to do with your law firm to support that choice in lifestyle. So it's a really interesting viewpoint, and he's got a lot to say about how to do that, and also about whose responsibility does it fall to provide that kind of training for attorneys. And we have a pretty spirited discussion on those subjects. So anyway, let's get to it. Let's listen to Ben Glass. Ben Glass, thank you for being on The Law Entrepreneur.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, Neil.
Well, I'm delighted that you're here today. For our listeners who don't know, this is probably going to be one of those episodes where I think I wish I'd scheduled two time slots, because there's a ton of things to talk to Ben Glass about. He's, as you will hear, a successful attorney in his own right, also runs something called Great Legal Marketing. It's one of the leading thought leaders in the legal industry, and I'm just delighted to have you on the show, Ben. Not to mention the fact you're in my backyard, so I feel like we're almost neighbors. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today, Ben.
Yeah, so when people ask me that question, I tell them, well, first of all, I'm dad to nine, so we're blessed with five biological children. We have adopted four from China. I've launched several of them out into the world. And so I think what I've been able to do very well with the law practice, and we'll talk about how we got there, is engineer a practice that really is designed for what I want to get out of life. And that begins with being home in time for dinner every night and being at the soccer games and, you know, the track meets and all of that stuff. So,
you know, I think that's such an interesting perspective, just straight off the bat, because rather than thinking about how am I going to grow my business, how am I going to manage this law firm, your focus is how am I going to fit my vocation into what's really important to me, and that's raising nine children.
Exactly. And so one of the things we teach, you know, we teach a lot of marketing, and that's what people come to the Great Legal Marketing side of me about. But the reality is when they get there, we teach them to ask this question is, what do you want for your life first? Okay. All right. Well, what kind of a firm then supports that lifestyle? We give them permission to ask those two questions. We then say, all right, what kind of a client do we need to attract to support that firm that supports that lifestyle? All right, now, step four, Neil, now let's create the marketing. And too many lawyers, most lawyers, they just leap to number four. Like, I need to run an ad or pay-per-click or something to get more clients. And they don't even give themselves permission to say, but wait, I can actually design a firm that supports what I want to do with my life. it's not something I can tell you today and on Monday you're going to have this perfect thing, but I at least get lawyers thinking about this all the time, and no one else has given them permission to ask about putting themselves, their families first. And so that's where we began. But
that's your starting point.
Yeah. I mean, I started in 1983 and followed a pretty traditional path from undergrad where I played soccer to law school to working for and then being a partner in a firm for the first 12 years of my practice life. We were doing a lot of insurance defense, personal injury and medical malpractice work, trending then in the later years of those 12 to doing plaintiff's work. There came a time when I was coaching three of my kids' soccer teams and the community, you know, and you are familiar since you are in this, yeah, in this region, the Northern Virginia traffic is horribly unpredictable. And so I said, you know, that doesn't fit. And I asked myself the question, you know, I'm a pretty good lawyer and getting good results. How hard could it be to run my own firm? So I left and started my own firm. And then discovered how really hard it is to run your own firm when you don't know anything about the business side.
Yeah. You know, my decision to go into solo practice, as our listeners may recall, was all driven by soccer. Because my son was a pretty accomplished player, and I knew he had a chance of starting as a freshman in high school, and that I was going to want to see every one of his games, and the games were played largely during the week and during the work hours, and so I had to make that decision. When I can't work for somebody and say, listen, I need to take 2 days off of every week in order to go see my son play soccer. So that I said, well, time for me to move on and start my own firm. So we share that affinity.
Yeah, well, you'd be interested in knowing that as soon as this, and we're recording this call at about 1 o'clock on an afternoon, and as soon as we're done, I'm out the door because I'm refereeing a high school playoff game up in McLean. And so, and that game kicks off at 3 p.m. So, but boom, I couldn't do that if I hadn't engineered a practice that supports one of the things I really like to do, which is referee high-end competitive high school and senior youth soccer games. So you
started off doing personal injury work and disability work in your firm. And when you started, were you a true solo? And how did that then evolve?
Yeah, true solo with one assistant. We only worked 4.5 days a week because we didn't have enough work to fill 5 days. And, you know, I took cases with me, so we were okay for a while. The Yellow Page rep, that ad was, quote, due basically 2 weeks after I moved into my practice. So I bought a stupid dollar bill size, a Yellow Page ad that said the same thing as all of the other bigger ads in the Yellow Pages. So I donated money to Verizon or Bell Atlantic, whoever that was.
Which is what everybody did at the time in that practice area.
And people still do it. They just do it. It's just different media today. It's just different media. So then, truly struggled trying to differentiate myself, trying to figure out how to differentiate myself. I found this guy, Dan Kennedy, who has become a good friend and a good mentor to me, and discovered the whole world of what we call direct response marketing, but also, more importantly, Neil, I think the world of asking questions like, gee, just because it's always been done this way, why does that mean we really have to keep doing it this way? And the second question was, if I see something good that somebody else is doing, so Neil, you might be running a bagel shop, and I find out you're successful, well, I should be really curious about what you're doing to attract customers. And I should be saying, when I hear a good idea, how could I import that into the legal business? Rather than just looking around at other lawyers and saying, oh, what are you doing? Because they're all pretty much doing the same thing. And so that began the journey of really improving, really at first, the marketing for Ben Glass Law. We started to write books and white papers and offering people, you know, free information and having long tail follow-up and all these things that we talk about, and started to really build and make that practice a force. At some point, a little bit more than 11 years ago, I said, gee, is anybody teaching this stuff to lawyers? Not just advertising, not just marketing, but the kind of attitude, the kind of renegade attitude that said, look outside law. Discovered that, you know, there were a couple people, but they weren't lawyers. And so some of their stuff really was not very congruent with the way a lot of lawyers think and with some of the ethics rules. So I just started creating stuff. By that point, I had a small tribe of people who paid some attention to me from articles I'd written, talks I'd given, comments I'd made on listservs. And so we created Great Legal Marketing. It's a membership organization. So today I work full time in Ben Glass Law, and I work full time in Great Legal Marketing. But I have great teams, really good teams in both of those businesses, and we're rocking it. And I still get home in time for dinner every day, and I'm usually not in the office before noon.
And put on the soccer boots and blow a whistle. So tell us a little bit then about Great Legal Marketing, and what does it have to offer? I mean, you say it's a membership group. How does that manifest itself, and particularly with respect to solo and small firms?
Right. So we're basically an educational organization. In other words, by and large, we're not saying, oh, we are experts at pay-per-click, come buy pay-per-click ads from us. We are experts at website building. Let us do that. What we're teaching lawyers to do is to make the most efficient use of their next dollar in their next hour as it concerns building their practices. So what I'm really good at, Neil, is looking at your practice, anybody's law practice, and saying, well, first, let's ask those questions we talked about at the beginning of the call. But now let's just eliminate the bad stuff. Show me where you're spending. Show me what you're getting back for your dollar. And a lot of times we move lawyers forward just by stopping the bad spend. We get them to, we teach them to spend some time really creating in their own mind what we call the avatar client. Who do you really like working with? Who does your team really like working with? Who do you hate? Now let's create marketing, and you just got to know that your avatar is walking around in your town right now. And you just got to start to create marketing that enters the conversation. David Ogilvy, great marketer from years gone by. You create marketing that enters a conversation that's already going on in their head. What is a new personal injury client really thinking about? Hint, they're not thinking, get me the most money I deserve, no fee of no recovery, you know, no cost, which is what typical lawyer ads are saying. That's what they think about. They think about, how am I going to manage to pay my bills? Am I going to lose my job? Is my car insurance adequate? So you start creating materials that actually helps a client, no matter whether they hire you or not. It's one of the tests we have for marketing, Neil, is what I'm putting out into the world actually going to be helpful to somebody in and of itself, whether or not they decide to use a lawyer and whether or not they decide to use me as a lawyer. When you start to change the messages that you send out into the world and you get away from the message that everybody else is using, because it's very hard for you to differentiate yourself if you're just saying the same thing. You change the message completely to this information-based marketing, you change the world. And so if you think even in terms of just like take an ethics paradigm for a moment, the rules of lawyer advertising don't like you to say, I'm the best, I'm better than you, all that stuff. But when I create a book, I can say, this is the best book for Virginia accident victims. This is a top information website for Virginia disability claimants. And so when you create this other collateral, you can say a lot of stuff about it. And all I'm trying to do, Neil, if you're a prospective avatar client, all I'm trying to do is get you to raise your hand and say, yes, Ben, I'd like one of those for free. And now let's have a conversation after that.
Well, what I hear you saying is that whatever you put out there in the world to attract people to your firm, it has to bring value to them. It has to be valuable to them. If that informational piece doesn't provide them some knowledge or something of benefit, then it's not going to be useful to them, and they're not likely to continue the conversation.
Yeah, and not only is it not useful, but it's hard to show. It's hard to even be noticed because it's the same thing everybody else does. So we want to be noticed, not because we're shouting louder and spending the most money on TV. There's a place for that, and there's guys and gals who do that very well. But then there's all the rest of us, right? So it's a way to get noticed at first, and to allow that consumer, no matter what the practice area, to have an easy way to start the conversation. See, we lawyers, Neil, we forget we're actually pretty scary to most people. And most lawyer advertising says, hey, call now for a free consultation. Well, that's a barrier. We don't think it should be because it's free, but that's a barrier to a lot of people. We want to give them that path if that's what they want to do, but they just want to download my book or request a printed version of my book. It gives them an alternative reason for raising their hand. And so now the vast majority of the marketing is in the background. It's in that communication via email, follow-ups, via phone calls from my office that nobody else is seeing, right? Unless they're in that follow-up sequence. And I can do a lot with that.
You know, I remember just going back to personal injury when I was doing personal injury exclusively, that one of the first questions that clients would always ask is, or not always, but frequently would ask, it's like, I've never been in an accident before. I don't even know what to do next. So a simple checklist of what to do if you've been in an accident is the kind of informational product that you're talking about, is it not?
Yeah, so it changed sort of, if you want to talk about taglines, the Ben Glass Law tagline, or changed into, if you've been in an accident, then before you talk to the adjuster, hire an attorney, or sign any form, just get our free information or download our book, because it will start to answer those questions, Neil, for you that I, Ben, know you're asking yourself, because I've been in hundreds, probably thousands now, of initial client meetings over the years, right?
Which is where they're asking those questions.
Exactly right. And so, and particularly today's consumer. So in the old days, right, when I started, if a consumer wanted to check out several lawyers, they had to go and have meetings, right? This is kind of pre-internet. Well, today they can visit, they can quote interview, they can see 10 in an hour just by surfing the innumerous lawyer videos on the internet. So it's much, much more competitive than it ever has been before. And we have a lot of non-lawyer money involved in lawyer advertising. And so it's really, really imperative. The whole second thing that we teach really is the money is in your list. And the money is in building a tribe of people, Neil, who find you interesting and noteworthy for reasons other than you being a lawyer. So lots of people know Ben, dad to nine, soccer referee, helps small businesses, not just law firm, but other small biz entrepreneurs grow their businesses. They know that story, and no one else in the world has my story. No one else in the world has your story. So it's very hard for anyone to compete with me on story. And a lot of lawyers miss this. They think the client will remember me because I did a good job for them. And 5 years from now, if they or someone they know needs a personal injury lawyer, of course they'll remember me.
Not always the case. Yeah.
Of course not. Yeah. You are expected to do a good job. Doing a good job isn't extraordinary at all. It is what is the minimum level expected. But I'm in front of my tribe at least every month, printed, mailed, monthly newsletter, where at least 50% of that newsletter is Ben on philosophy of life, Ben on principles of living. I mean, it's got totally nothing to do with being a lawyer, right? But it ends up on people's refrigerators for their kids to see because it's all about life lessons. And so that works really well for me. Now,
so it's all about getting them to know, like, and respect and trust you as an individual.
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. As an individual, for reasons other than, hey, I'm a good lawyer. Because there's a lot of people, Neil, that can say, I'm a good lawyer. And it's absolutely true.
And I had a mentor who said at one point that, you know, frankly, the average client can't tell the difference between a good lawyer and a bad lawyer.
No way.
So what they're really going to be judging you on is, do they feel that it's that you are someone that they're going to be comfortable working with?
Yes. And so the thing we have today that we didn't have even 5 years ago really is the whole online review thing with lawyers, so Avvo and Google. And today, now we don't know where this will go 5 or 10 years from now, Neil, but today we believe that's really important. So we teach lawyers how to get reviews, and then more as importantly, how to get the potential client to go look at the reviews. Because if they go and read, we have on Avvo almost 100 consumer reviews and over 100 lawyer endorsements. They can find a story in there that's just like their story. And that comfort level, as you so correctly observed, that comfort level goes up. So, but you're right, they can't tell a good lawyer from a bad lawyer. And the bar doesn't do anything to try to help them do that, because the bar stays away from everything that we teach.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that streamlines your practice and can save you hours of work each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and cases without adding stress nor chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. There's no more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. Because Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings for the entire team or a portion thereof. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. That's Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. Spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. I'd like to focus in on Great Legal Marketing, your other full-time business, and what it is that attorneys are looking for. What are the challenges that they're facing that they feel aren't being satisfied elsewhere that causes them to come to an entity such as Great Legal Marketing?
Yeah. So most every attorney who comes to us thinks that what they want is more and better cases. They want a steadier stream of income. And you ask lawyers, you know, what do you want? I just need more cases. So that's what
all problems are solved by more cases.
That's what attracts them. So we do have and teach a system I pretty much have described here of how to change even the front end marketing to show up differently than anyone else in your marketplace. But what they don't see or figure out at the beginning, but what they come to realize is this second part, which is this relentless pursuit of 1,000 true fans. Tim Ferriss talks about this in his book, Tools of Titans, and he references a paper, and I've forgotten the author's name, but if you Google 1,000 true fans, you'll find this sort of seminal article. And the concept is, if you have 1,000 people in your community who know you, know your story, and will evangelize for you, you don't need to spend another dime on, quote, advertising, right? So so that's what we do. So we are a membership organization. We've got three levels of membership. People typically enter at our lowest level, gold level. They get a guidebook, and they get it's a monthly journal, and they get to get on calls and all sorts of stuff, which I'm probably not giving a high value to right now. But what they're learning at that gold level is how to attract more leads, how to get more of the clients that they have identified as their avatar client. At our interim level, which our diamond level, they're learning how to build a business. And so it's everything there, Neil, from how to hire, how to develop and understand your firm, culture, value, your mission, how to hire and fire to those values, and how to grow your business, how to answer your phone. So Neil, anyone that's listening to this, if they want to do one thing that's absolutely free, start recording your calls. And when you're alone in a room, listen to what your team is saying on phone calls. All right. You'll throw up. All of us have done the exercise. All of us have thrown up. Even if you think your team is well-trained and they're already using scripts and all this stuff, you're spending all this money trying to make the phone ring. And in 100% of cases, it's almost guaranteed. 100% of cases, there's money flowing out through your phones. Doesn't cost you anything to, you know, to get some software and figure out how to do this. You know, to building a team, which is what I have done here, which enables me to concentrate on a couple of things. So in the law practice, I'm the chief strategist for the top cases, the high-level cases. I'm the thinker, and then I delegate really the execution. And I'm the top strategist on the marketing side. Hey, what could we do to get more of these types of cases? How could we improve our referral program, for example, to get these types of cases? And I think that's what, you know, this is what lawyers should be spending their time on, is, and what they're good at is thinking about their cases. And so many of us, Neil, are so busy. We're so wrapped up with so many things to do. Lawyers will say, I don't even have time to think.
Right. Well, it's in essence, being the CEO of your business, both your legal business and your and Great Legal Marketing, and not the practitioner in the business. So I guess my question to you then is, why don't the law schools or the bar associations, you know, why aren't they addressing this issue? Because it seems to be, regardless of which jurisdiction I talk to, all over the country and even outside of the U.S., it seems to be a major problem. It's a major hole in the education of the legal profession.
Well, first, I 100% agree with you, and the proof is really in the pudding here with this. So the ABA just came out with this new report, National Task Force on Lawyer Well-Being, and the report is called A Path to Lawyer Well-Being, Practical Recommendations for Positive Change. And what they did is they looked at how horrible it is to be a lawyer and looked at all things which are real, like the prevalence of drug abuse, mental illness, depression, anxiety, all alcohol, all of these things, and they're all very real. However, the report is, and I have it right in front of me because it's become sort of my mantra Bible for now, is 71 pages, 72 pages, Neil, and there's not a single word in the report about building a better business. And that's not the solution for everything, but so much of lawyer angst about the profession is because really good lawyers and really good people haven't figured out how to make a profit and still get home in time for dinner and not work 80 and 90 hour work weeks. And so it leads to, in large part, all that other stuff. And so it's a shame. And you ask a very good question, which is, why don't they? I think two things. One, they don't know. Bar leadership doesn't know what we're talking about on this call. They are either willfully ignorant of it or grew up in the law at a time when it wasn't as competitive as it is now. There wasn't so much advertising money from non-lawyer entities in the game. So they don't know, and they've got nice little practices, and they're on these committees, God bless them, and they don't even, you know, I would blow their mind by showing them what we know. And so, and the other thing is, I do think there are certain members of leadership, and I'll just speak generally, who don't want, who think it's somehow wrong that a young lawyer could be able to go out and not have to climb the ladder of success, but can kind of figure out the shortcuts to building good marketing and building a good business and now compete with them. So that's my kind of...
I think you're exactly correct. I think those exact two points are prevalent, you know, with everybody generally that I speak with on this program. One, that oftentimes the bar associations, as an example, and even the law schools to a degree, but they're often governed by folks who have come up through or are part of medium to large size practices. And so they can't really relate to the solo or small firm practitioner. And then the flip side of that is that you so correctly point out, they frequently are opposed to the new age, if you will, which isn't really new age, it's just a new way of delivering it, but new age approach to building a business. And so they've acquiesced on this important responsibility, and it's the private sector, people like yourselves, that are satisfying that need. And really, for me, it's the whole reason I do this podcast.
Yeah. So they will say in their defense, well, our profession is different. And so we really shouldn't have to do all of those things because the law legal profession is a calling and it's just different. My answer to that is so many more people. We have this huge gap in America, huge gap between lawyers, there's lots of them, and people who need lawyers but can't afford them, right? Or find them too difficult to deal with. If people, especially your army of solo and small firm lawyers who listen to this podcast, if they build better businesses, you're actually going to serve your community better, right? Things go better when you aren't stressed to the hilt. Your brief writing is better. Your arguments in court are better. Your meetings with clients are better. And your team is better. And it all just works. So, and it's not different. It's not different. All we're trying to do, like any other business, is attract a customer or a client. Make profit. That's okay, by the way. Make a profit from this person because we have learned something that they need. It's a total win-win capitalism, approach to the legal profession. What law students hear, because you know, I have one son who's a lawyer, and I remember when he was in law school and going to his graduation. It was now some time ago, but. But the whole message of the graduation was now you're a slave to the client and you're in a whole new world. And to my answer, to that was BS. That's the wrong way. And so it's interesting. And what I've been able to do at Great Legal Marketing is develop a tribe of people who are attracted to this message that I can, it's okay. First of all, it's okay to think like this. It's okay to build a business that suits me. I don't have to serve everyone. Oh, by the way, when I do have a business that's profitable and I'm not stressed by it, it does allow me time to do pro bono work. It does allow time for me to add my expertise to someone who could not otherwise afford my services. But if I'm stressed to the max, if I'm wondering whether I can turn the lights on or where the next dollar is coming from, I ain't running down to the courthouse to pick up some more pro bono cases. That just doesn't work that way. So I think everything works.
We had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, Keith Magnus. He's a personal injury attorney out of New Orleans and very successful, has built his practice along these same lines, using these same methodologies. And one of the things that he pointed out, and I think agreeing with the concept that you just articulated, was that his ability to grow his practice and live a lifestyle that he chooses allows him to actually provide his services to a greater number of people at a lower cost. And that annoys and infuriates some other attorneys in his marketplace who seem to think he's undercutting them on price in some ways, but in point of fact, he's actually expanding his footprint and making his services available to ever more people than he would otherwise be able to do because he's designed his practice in just that way.
Right. And so the principle there that what you just described is how does this whole deal look through the client's eyes? And this is right. Something that I believe the bar never looks at. So they have a bazillion rules about you can't do this, you can't do that. And you find those, that's mainly what these solo and small firm conferences, if they do a session on marketing, it's all about you can't do this and you can't do that, right. By the way.
What you have to have on the envelope that you send out to with your newsletter.
So here's what the AVOs, and I'm full disclosure, I'm good friends with the leadership there, and I have discussions with Mark Britton. The AVOs of the world figured out the answer to the question, what does this look like from the consumer side? What is the consumer looking for? Now, AVO isn't perfect for everybody, but there's a large segment of society that says, yeah, if I can get a mortgage on my laptop, I ought to be able to get a lawyer, get something done. And so the established bar, in my opinion, never, ever looks at this from the viewpoint of the consumer experience, as they are typically, Neil, thrust into our world, not by design. So, you know, estate planning practice, okay, but DUI, they didn't plan for that. Divorce, they didn't plan for that typically. Get hit in a car accident, didn't plan for that. So they're thrust into our world. They have to quickly decide, do I need a lawyer? If so, how do I find one? I've never had to shop for one before. And then they go through this bizarre world of, you know, the legal side, how disputes are decided. And if you look at what the established bar does in terms of either creating rules or even creating information for consumers, it looks horrible. I mean, it just looks horrible if you're on the consumer side of this deal. And so that's another kind of big principle we teach at Great Legal Marketing is look at everything you do, your website, how your phones are answered, the experience when they walk into your office, and ask yourself, how many different things are going on that increase trust in me? And how many things are going on that decrease trust? You got broken links on your website. You know, Martha answers the phone, law offices. No one ever answers the phone. Thanks for calling Dunglass Law. You know, you're actually in the right place. And, you know, Neil, you say, hey, I've got a problem with this. And my team goes, well, that's awesome that you called here because Mr. Glass and his team are really good at that. So that's just another gap that we are fulfilling here. Again, I think one of the biggest things we do is we give lawyers permission to think as entrepreneurs and as business owners first. Lots of places they can go to find out how to be better lawyers. But if you combine good lawyering with what we teach, then you have practices like the one you just described that the other person, injury lawyer. That's what the result is.
Yeah, it's interesting. What do you think then is the biggest obstacle for attorneys that are coming to Great Legal Marketing? What's the biggest obstacle that they have for accepting this teaching?
Yeah, so I think a couple. So first of all, many are afraid of what friends and family will say when they find out that you're getting on a plane to go learn, because you shouldn't have to. You're a good lawyer, Joe. You shouldn't have to go and advertise. You shouldn't have to market. You're a lawyer. You're not a bagel maker. So you kind of have that. And then once you get inside the door, I mean, full disclosure, I don't have a silver bullet. I don't have like the one thing you can do that's going to make your life great by the end of next week. This is like, I started doing CrossFit this summer, and CrossFit has an onboarding program. And then you work. And so 3 days a week at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm in CrossFit gym with other people in my community working my butt off. I mean, working really hard. And so the lawyers who are really successful with the stuff we teach, Neil, they tend to do two or three things really well. So we have a lot of strategies. You know, there's a lot of things you could do. But when they do something like, let me improve my website and let me have like flawless back-end execution of a follow-up sequence. Well, flawless. It works all the time the way we think it works. Let's improve my phones. Flawless execution of the script. All right. No balls get dropped. And so the most successful lawyers are not doing anything esoteric. They're not spending a ton, you know, $100,000 a month on TV advertising. If they're creating a newsletter, it's really good and it's not about the law, but it's getting out every month, printed, not email, print mail, flawless execution of a number of principles. The thing is, though, you could open up a book on how to do this for your dental practice, how to do this for your car dealership, and you would find the same principles. Now, and that throws some lawyers off. They go, well, I'm not a car dealership and I'm not one of them. Okay, but find a successful car dealership, ask the leader how she runs her car dealership, and you're going to find some good things. And now your duty is not to just reject it. Oh, that's a car dealership. The duty is, okay, that's interesting. How might I use that idea over in law practice? And so we help kind of translate that. That's we have attracted a large number of people who like the philosophy, who benefit from the strategies, and who like the fact that we're not going, and oh, by the way, we're going to run your pay-per-click campaign or we're going to run your website. And we've got trusted vendors that we refer people to, but we're not actually in that business.
Right. Well, listen, Ben, I know you got to run here. I want to get you out on time so you can hit the pitch. I'd love to have you back and chat more on this because, like I said, we could fill up a couple of 3 hours. Just going back over my notes here, I think you were talking about 100 True Fans. Isn't that Kevin Kelly's book?
Yeah, Kevin Kelly, yeah. I thought it was 1,000 True Fans. You can find it.
It's all- yeah, 1,000 True Fans. So really a great resource. And it, all, it reminds me also there was a book years ago called Raving Fans, which kind of had a similar approach to it. But what do you have coming up next in Great Legal Marketing? What's your next event?
Yeah, so we run onboarding boot camps for our members. So we do that about 3 times a year. We run only one annual event. It's a big 3-day hoopla.
And that was the one you just had in Arlington?
Just came off it. And at the end, we had 250 people attending. And at the end of the last day, the room was still pretty much filled, and 81 people signed up and paid for next year already.
Wow.
Which, you know, compare that to any other.
Yeah, that's a ringing endorsement right there.
Traditional bar association. I would say if people are interested, go to greatlegalmarketing.com, at least enter the sequence. There's a 10-step marketing report, but that report will be valuable. But just to see how we market and what happens to you when you enter that marketing world, we'll give you some ideas about marketing your practice. Of course, visit benglasslaw.com. You can see the same thing. How does Ben market? And of course, I've written Renegade Lawyer Marketing, which is available on Amazon and also at our website, I'm pretty sure. But that's a good book because it has a CD at the back that you should just pop in the car if your car has a CD player and listen to the philosophy. Listen to this kind of conversation that you and I just had, because if you like it, we've got a lot more. And if you want to stay, you know, if your practice is really good, you don't really need us, right? If it's everything that is fulfilling to you, you don't need me, you don't need you, right? Go on, keep doing it, what you're doing. But we think
don't fix what isn't broken.
Exactly right. You know, the world is changing. It's much more competitive. It's only going to move faster. And the solo and small firm lawyer has the ability to be nimble, and to use guerrilla type marketing. And again, Neil, all you need is that small number of true fans. You don't need the entire marketplace. You don't need to be like Geico, you know, fighting for an incremental point of market share across the whole world, really.
Terrific. All right, Ben. Well, thanks ever so much for taking the time to be with us today. And I want to thank you profusely. I look forward to continuing the conversation at a later date.
All right, Neil. Good to talk to you, sir.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.